So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamila. This is text number 50. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hodabhi Kuruti Svartan. Pancha Vedata Panchabhi. Ekastu Sodashina Trin. Svayam Sapta Daso Snute. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa Paribhraja Kacharya Ashtotara Sota Sri Shima Nabai Charanar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Above the five senses of perception, the five working senses and the five objects of the senses is the mind, which is the 16th element. Above the mind is the 17th element, the soul, the living being himself, who, in cooperation with the other 16, enjoys the material world alone. The living being enjoys three kinds of situations, namely happy, distressful, and mixed. Please repeat. Above the five centers of perception, purport. Everyone engages in work with his hands, legs, and other senses just to achieve a certain goal according to his concocted ideas. One tries to enjoy the five sense objects, namely form, sound, taste, aroma, and touch, not knowing the actual goal of life, which is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Because of disobeying the Supreme Lord, one is put into material conditions, and then he tries to improve his situation in a concocted way, not desiring to follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nevertheless, the Supreme Lord is so kind that he comes himself to instruct the bewildered living entity how to act obediently and then gradually return home back to Godhead, where he can attain eternal, peaceful life of bliss and knowledge. The living entity has a body which is a very complicated combination of the material elements. And with this body, he struggles alone, as indicated in this verse by the word ekashtu. For example, if one is struggling in the ocean, he must swim through it alone. Although many other men and aquatics are swimming in the ocean, he must take care of himself, because no one else will help him. Therefore, this verse indicates that the 17th item, the soul, must work alone. Although he tries to create friendship, society, and love, no one will be able to help him but Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his only concern should be how to satisfy Krishna. And that is also what Krishna wants. Sarvadanam parityaja, mamikam sharanam raja. People bewildered by material conditions try to be united. But although they strive for unity among men and nations, all their attempts are futile. Everyone must struggle alone for existence with the many elements of nature. Therefore, one's only hope, as Krishna advises, is to surrender to him. For he can help one become free from the ocean of nescience. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore prayed, Ainanda tunuja kinkaram, Patitam bam bashami bhavam bhajo, Kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli shadrisham dishintaya. O Krishna, beloved son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or another I have fallen into this ocean of nescience. And although I am struggling very hard, there is no way I can save myself. If you kindly pick me up and fix me as one of the particles of dust at your lotus feet, that will save me. In a similar way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang, Anadi karma phale padi bhavana navajale sari pari na deki upaya. My dear Lord, I cannot remember when somehow or another I fell into this ocean of nescience. And now I can find no way to rescue myself. We should always remember that everyone is responsible for his own life. If an individual becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, then he is delivered from the ocean of nescience. So here, graphically showing the situation of the living entity in the material world. Very, very precarious position. Bound up in this body with these 16, 15 senses and sense objects which are described here. There are five working senses: the voice, arms, legs, anus, and genitals. And five objects of senses: sound, form, touch, aroma, and taste. And five senses of perception: hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, and feeling. And then the 16th is the mind. And the three types of experience that one has in this material world, that is happiness, distress, and a mixture of both. And beyond this is the soul himself, the living entity, who is the enjoyer or the experiencer of the interactions of this material nature. So it's a very, very complicated situation that we're bound up in. One on top of another. 16 gross elements in the mind. Others also. So, to become free from this is the whole purpose of human life. Because other forms of life, they don't have the ability to understand the situation they're in and become free from it. But the human being does, and that's why he's supposed to be Aryan, or following the Vedic knowledge. Because this is giving knowledge of the self, of the material world. Veda is like manual for the universe. Just like you buy a car or anything, machine, you get a manual. Operator's manual. So Veda is like that. Here is universe. Here is how it works. Here is how you can enjoy it. Because this is why you came. And also, here is how to get out of it. So it's a complete manual. So, this is Vedic knowledge. So human life means to understand one's situation in the material world. How he is bound up, hand and leg. In this situation, there are 33 crores of devatas who are controlling the whole universe. Practically, they're all pervading. Their influence is experienced at least throughout the whole universe, because every living entity is under some kind of control. So their presence is felt throughout the whole universe. They're so powerful. And Prabhupada said, every point of the body There is a deity controlling. These 33 crores of devatas, they have for every point of the body, there is someone, there is a controller. There is a person in charge of that situation. So this is what we're bound up in. And they are there to fulfill desires, etc. Krishna says, worship the devatas, you'll get the good result. Then there is, of course, the three modes of material nature who are actually the kings of the world. This is their realm. They act according to the will of the Lord, but they act independently. In other words, nobody can cross his material energy. Devi Hyeshi Gunamai Mama Maradhuatya. You cannot cross this material energy. Prabhupada explains because, although it's material energy, because it's connected to the divine will of the Lord. Because Maya Devi is very obedient to the will of the Lord. The will, the Lord and his name form non-different. So his will is also absolute. Because they're executing the will of the Lord, that is absolute. Therefore she's very powerful. And because of her connection, nobody can cross unless the Lord desires and gives the order. Then you have personalities like Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Shankarshan, Vasudeva, also controlling deities of the mind, intelligence, the hankara, the living entity himself, pure consciousness is Vasudeva's realm. And so, see how tightly bound up we are. And it is a struggle for existence. This material world is a struggle for existence. If somebody doesn't know that, he is quite foolish. It's a struggle for existence. Simply to maintain your body is a struggle. Imagine, you're 1/10,000 size the tip of a hair. Your energy is making this body work. When you leave, the body stops functioning along with the super soul. So what you've got to do just to maintain the life force, what to speak of eating, etc. Simply to breathe is a lot of energy. It takes a lot of, it's a struggle to breathe. You have, just to exist, it is a hard struggle for existence. It is literally, it is a hard struggle. Simply to exist is a hard struggle. And Srila Prabhupada said that anybody who is attached to his next breath, that's a material contamination. So if you're attached to your next breath before you breathe in, understand it's a material contamination. Because the breath, the body needs the breath, but you're not the body. But you're attached to the body. So therefore you think you need the next breath. Therefore it's a material contamination. Even to breathe. You have to breathe to exist. Even if you want to do nothing else, I'll just exist. You have to breathe. Material contamination. Struggle. You've got to struggle to breathe and you're materially contaminated. Even that you're not going to do anything else. So this is the situation in this horrible material world. Bound up hand and leg. Then on top of all this, Prabhupada said, as if it wasn't so bad, if it wasn't so bad already. Maya Devi is there, giving you with a tree soul, the Durga Devi. This is her realm. She has that tree soul. It means Adi Devi, Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmik. She is, every time she's given you a jab, there's not one time you're not feeling one of these jabs. Adi Bhautik, Adi Devik, Adi Atmik. At any given moment, she has got one of her prongs in you, or two prongs, or three prongs. This is her nature. She's giving you a hard time. She's giving you giving you the prongs. You can't sit still for 1 minute. Literally, Literally, you can't sit still for 1 minute without pronging. I won't do anything. I'll sit down and meditate. Oh, I'll do yoga. I'll shut my senses off. I'll shut my mind off and sit. Something. After 1 or 2 minutes, I have to change my situation. It's uncomfortable. I can't even sit down for a couple of minutes. I have to change the position. This is the nature of this material world. And Prabhupada said, as if it wasn't so bad. After all these things, he said, on top of that, you have Kali Raj comes here. And he's simply stirring everything up. He said, if already you're bound up hand and foot, you're getting so many problems from all of, then Kali Raj comes along and he simply stirs things up and makes it worse. He's clapping his hands and rubbing his hands. And he loves it. All the latest gadgets he's got, internet. He gets right into your home. This is Maya moves with the times, ahead of the times actually. Now, she's so expert. She gets right into your home. You go in there, you lock the doors, you lock your bedroom. And you switch on your... She's right there. Maya gets right in there. Clapping her hands, rubbing her hands. We should learn from her. She's expert. Anything that we get new invents, she's first one there to use it. How to use it for sense gratification to bewilder us. We're like that. We see everything, but we try to use it in service to Krishna. But she's the first one there. She's always the first one there. She bewilders everyone. So this is the unfortunate situation that we're in. And factually, there's nothing we can do about it by ourselves. We need help. Actually, the first covering of the soul is the avidya covering. Avidya means forgetfulness of Krishna. Because you come in this world to be Krishna, to be the enjoyer. Somehow or another you have this desire to enjoy, be the enjoyer and the controller. That desire sprung up in the spiritual world. And Prabhupada said, Krishna gives you 3 warnings. He said, don't go there. 3 times he said, he gives you different warnings. Krishna, don't go. But because we are so stubborn, like spoiled children, you know. They keep banging, mommy, mommy, I want it. Okay. Finally you have to have it. So Krishna says, no, don't go. But finally, okay. You want to go, okay. But he's fulfilling everyone's desire. But still he's so kind, he comes with you as the Paramatmarosa. But so the first covering is this avidya, or forgetfulness of Krishna. Otherwise, how you can make it in the material world and being the Lord? If you know Krishna's the Lord, he's going to spoil all the fun. I wanted to be the Lord. I don't want to be subordinate to anyone. So Krishna gives you that facility and he sends you into the playground of the material world. Okay, you're going to have some play for a little while till you come to your senses. So he covers you with his avidya. Krishna gives you that. Otherwise you can't forget Krishna. It's impossible to forget Krishna. Krishna consciousness means Krishna's consciousness. Conscious. We are conscious. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We are part and parcel of his conscious. We're also conscious. It's the same consciousness. So if you're Krishna conscious, you're connected to Krishna. This is his consciousness. You're aware of Krishna. When you're Brahman realized, you're aware of the presence of Krishna. You're aware of his consciousness. You're conscious of his presence. When you're Paramatma realized, you're conscious of his consciousness. When you're Bhagavan realized, you become conscious of Krishna and your relationship with him. So consciousness is one. So you can't forget Krishna in that pure form. So then Krishna has to cover it. He gives you the vidya. After all, it's Him you're conscious of. So it's Him who makes you unconscious of Him or forgetfulness of Him. It's His Shakti. Who else can do it? Who else can cover Krishna except Himself? So He covers Himself. And so you're covered with this avidya. That's the first thing. Then you're allowed to come in the material world. Then in the beginning of creation, it's described in the third canto, the living entity is actually in pure consciousness, Vasudeva consciousness. Because at that time, the modes of material nature are not existing. They're unmanifested, an unmanifested state. It's just the beginning, the creation is just going to begin. So the living entity is there and he's conscious. And there's no influence of the material nature, so he's actually in pure consciousness. It's Vasudeva consciousness. Then he has a choice also. He can go back to Godhead from that point if he wants. He can remember Vasudeva. But he's there in that pure symptoms of consciousness is given, pure, clear, unruffled like water, peace. You're in that situation. Then the first thing becomes manifest as the Ahankara. In the course of creation, the Ahankara principle. And that is the Prabhupada describes Ahankara. We're trying to find out how Ahankara is affecting me, my Ahankara. I'm trying to work on it so I can purify myself. But that element, Ahankara, how fine that is. Prabhupada describes it as the dictation of Shankarshan. So even Shankarshan is a person. You can't even understand him. What to speak of his dictation? This is like a mental projection. He dictates. So this dictation makes its appearance. It's the Ahankara. I am the enjoyer. I am the controller. And the living entity. When that makes its appearance, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be in control and enjoy. So then he adopts that Ahankara. That's then the first covering. From that, bang, 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 one after another. Then you end up with it. Covering after covering after covering. You don't even agree. The gross one is so difficult to deal with. What to speak of all the subtle coverings. So really, really trapped up. It's so difficult. And it is a hard struggle for existence in this material world. And here Prabhupada is pointing out you've got to do it alone. No one can help you. You've got yourself in this situation and you've got to get yourself out. And you can get out. How? By Krishna's grace. If you surrender to Krishna, Prabhupada's point again, and Krishna's request also, please, after giving Arjuna all of the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna requested, please Arjuna, just abandon all those varieties of dharmas and everything I've taught you. Give them all. Just surrender to me alone, please. I will save you from everything. So this is Krishna's kindness. And Krishna, although this Devi Maya is so powerful, you can't overcome, nobody can overcome, but Krishna says, one who has surrendered unto me, it becomes easy. Why it becomes easy? Because Krishna, this is my Maya, Mama Maya. So Krishna says, okay, Durga Devi, you leave him alone. He's my devotee. He surrendered me. You leave him alone. I'll take over now. Thank you. Thank you very much. So then her reflection, Yogamaya takes over a devotee's life. She starts to control. Mahamaya is simply the reflection of Yogamaya. So then she assumes her real form. And she takes over as Yogamaya. Then she helps spiritually. And Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura says in the Brahma Samhita, that verse, Shaiva, talking of how she's a shadow, Durga is a shadow energy of the pure energy of Yogamaya. Prabhupada says Krishna orders release from Durga. Leave my son, he is my son, he's recognizing. Give my child back, I'll take care. Now Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that this Durga that they're speaking of, everybody, especially in Bengal, is a big thing. Worship Durga, Durga Puja. Big thing. Everybody's worshipping Durga, practically the whole world is worshipping Durga Devi in different forms because she is the material universe. So everybody's actually a devotee of Durga because that's their happiness. And Prabhupada says they are fools. They're doing Durga Puja, they are fools. He says because ultimately she's the one who kills them. The body belongs to Durga Devi, it's her energy. So ultimately when time's up, you've enjoyed it for so long, I'll take it back. All life you've been going, Goddess, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. This is our prayer. We're praying to thee. Give me, give me. Finally she says, okay, you give me back my body. She takes her body back, okay. Because it's her property. So Prabhupada said they're foolish. They're worshipping, where they're worshipping their death. She's standing there just waiting for that final moment. They're foolish. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in the purport of that Brahma Samhita, he said, now when one becomes devotee of Krishna, this is Durga Puja. This is real Durga Puja. He said, because she becomes so happy. And this is the way to propitate Devi, becoming a devotee. Because she also has a hard, Prabhupada said, a thankless task, keeping all the living entities bound up in the material energy. That's her. She's a great devotee, but she has this task. Keeping everybody bound up in Maya. So she's so happy when one becomes a devotee of Krishna. It relieves her of a bit of work also, but she's just so happy that, someone's been able to get out of her clutches. He's become actually a pure devotee and become free from her clutches. And then she herself, the mistress of this whole material universe, she clears the way. She clears the way. And all the devatas also help. They clear the way. Her and all her deva associates, they're the ones that are keeping us bound up by our senses and everything. And when one becomes, they actually clear the way. Instead of giving you problem, they give you flowers. It's described, Srila Prabhupada describes it. Maybe in the Priyavrata chapter. Anyway, it's a purport, and Prabhupada is giving, he's quoting Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur. He's talking about this. The happiness that everybody is searching in this material world. It's a simply reflection of the Haladini potency, the happiness of the spiritual world. So that potency that Yogamaya reflects here is Mahamaya. And then instead of becoming a source of happiness, it becomes a source of distress. The so-called happiness in this material world is actually a source of distress. So from that Haladini potency, it transforms and becomes, what's the word he uses? Anybody remember? Source means a source of distress. The Sanskrit word. Tapakari, yes. Yeah. Instead of Haladini, or that potency, because it becomes Tapakari. That potency which gives nothing but distress. So it's the same potency, but it's reflected. And it turns out upside down, and instead of giving happiness, it gives distress. So in the pure form, actually, Durga Devi is Yogamaya Devi, who helps the living entities. in devotion, they, those great souls under the protection of divine energy, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, they come under her protection. So like this, then it behoves one to become a devotee of Krishna. Then all the devatas, everyone, everything is released. And everything is so personal here. The troubles are personally given by Durga Devi, and she personally also removes the troubles. The devatas give you so much. They personally, everything is so personal in this. In this universe, and also in spiritual life, everything is so personal. It's so personal that here you've got to do it yourself. All alone, Prabhupada keeps saying, you're all alone in this world, in this struggle for existence. You got yourself into this mess, you get yourself out of it. Goksha Dasbhavji Maharaj would often be quoted as saying that, I am all alone in this world in my service to Krishna. I am all alone in this world. So this is the situation we're in, that actually who can help us in this material? How do you get out of all this network of Maya? So complicated. But Krishna Prabhupada said, Krishna is so kind, then he is coming and he is giving, yes. Okay, if you surrender to me, then you can easily cross beyond. It's Krishna's desire. So, then Krishna consciousness again begins when Krishna removes that avidya. He gave the avidya, he gave the covering potency. So who will remove it? It's his potency. Who can remove it? Who can uncover Krishna? So Krishna can do himself. So he will personally remove that avidya. Then again you'll become to your normal consciousness. But until that time it's so difficult. But anyway, Krishna's so kind, he comes, he gives the process of devotional service that is purifying our existence here. And otherwise you really don't know what is what here in material consciousness. You don't know what is what. We have Radha Gopinath and Gonitai, they are truth, absolute. Srimad Bhagavatam is one different than Krishna. We have the holy name is Krishna. Truth. But it's very difficult in our contaminated state to understand what is truth. Because we see so many objects. We have so many books. They all look the same. We see so many figures. They all look the same. With so many words, Hare Krishna sounds just like another word. So when it's contaminated, although it is truth, we understand these things are truth. And out of Krishna's kindness, he has presented these things to us. And we must practice, but still we see other things on an equal level. We understand with knowledge, okay, it's truth. It's been given by Krishna and the devotees and the acharyas. The deity is truth, the Bhagavatam is truth, the holy name is truth. But also we see other things as truth. We see our sense gratification as truth. It appears very real. Our enjoyment in this material world seems very real, and our and things we don't like, they're also truth. We very much go out of our way to avoid them. So it's very difficult to discriminate between the two. We have truth here, but in one moment it looks like another truth, which is not truth. We see the Maya, but it's not truth. Because we haven't understood ourselves in truth. So how are you going to see truth? If you're not truth, understood yourself in truth, then how you can see what is truth? So now the truth is covered. The truth is we are pure consciousness. Can't be disconnected from Krishna. We're always in Krishna's presence. Always aware of Krishna. That is truth. We are part and parcel of Krishna. But now we're covered. That truth is covered. And so now we can't see. So therefore we have to see through the eyes of Shastra, through the Guru, through the sadhus. Then we can learn to understand what is truth. But still it's so easy to get swept away. Even we understand all these things. Prabhupada says in the Vyasatmika Bhutiya verse, Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, the end of the purport, he said the whole process of Krishna consciousness depends, however, on one understanding his self beyond the body. He said not theoretically, but practically, then there is no more chance of falling into fruitive activities again. So it's something we learn in the very beginning of Krishna consciousness, you're not this body. But the whole process depends on that. Or living in truth. Living in your real identity as a part and parcel of Krishna. Then you can discriminate truth because you are truth. Then it's easy to discriminate. Then it's very difficult. Maya becomes very fearful and frightened then because she appears like Putana. Putana. You just mention the name of Putana and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan start shivering in fright because coming to kill Krishna. He's come to kill our bhakti. So a devotee sees Maya like that. It's horrible. She's coming to kill our bhakti. Like a tigress going to devour her. But very quickly. But if you're not in truth, then actually Maya Devi looks very nice. Very truthful. Very promising. So Krishna consciousness, to come to this platform of Krishna consciousness, you have to do it. No one else will do it for you. You fly your own airplane, it mentions in Bhagavatam. You can get training on the ground as a pilot, but when you make your maiden flight, you're on your own, you're up there. No one can help you. So, this is spiritual life just like that. We got ourselves into this mess. And we're going to get ourselves out. Krishna gave you the covering because you wanted it. And he'll remove the covering when you want it removed. And the truth is, what I'm attracted to in this material world, or what I'm repulsed by, if we can stop these two things, what attracts me in this material world and what repulses me in the material world, if we can stop these two things, our attraction and repulsion to the objects of this material world, and just act in what does Krishna want? Here it says, what pleases Krishna? Instead of what I like in this material world and what I don't like, what does Krishna like in this material world? And forget out what we like and dislike. To that degree, we can forget our like, and that much you will be situated in truth. And that much we have some liking for an object of material, that is untruth. Or a disliking to something, simply the other side. These are untruths. So we have to go beyond this liking and disliking. And it's not easy. It's not easy. We have our likes and dislikes. Here, Prabhupada says, a person, he's trying, he's struggling. This verse indicates that the 17th item, the soul, must work alone. Although he tries to create friendship, society and love, no one will be able to help him but Krishna. And practically that's all that's going on in this world. We're working hard, trying to create a nice situation with friendship, society and love. Practically that's all that goes on in this material world. And Prabhupada said, you can't do it. And none of these things will help you. Even you try to create it, you're getting it together, you think. None of these things will help you. You're still alone. And you're simply struggling. This is the struggle for existence. Trying to make a happy situation in this material world. This is the struggle. And you're struggling alone, trying to create friendship, society and love. And they can't help you. You're kicked out of that situation. Prahlad Maharaj is 5 years old. He detected. Everybody in this material world, they are making a gigantic program for happiness. For a happiness that will never be. Maya Shukaya, the happiness of Maya, Prahlad Maharaj said. He was only five. Everybody is doing it. Aren't we? Whatever we do, we're making a program, we think we will be happy to do this. This particular devotional service will make me happy even. This particular spiritual life, I'll be happy doing this. We're making a program. What to speak of the karmis who are struggling to establish friendship, society and love and be happy in them. Why? Because I like and I don't like. I like this, I don't like that. So let me create this situation I like and reject all that situation. I thought then I'll be happy. Everybody's making this big program. This is untruth. What I like and what I don't. What we should be doing is, what does Krishna like? What satisfies Krishna? Therefore, Prabhupada is quoting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was kindly giving us guidelines. I Nanda Tuna Chikinkaram Patikaram. The son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, somehow or another I fall into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. This is a Vaishnava prayer. Prabhupada was asked one time in a meeting. I think it was in South Africa. And someone said, what is your prayer, Swamiji? He said, our prayer is Ai Nanda Tunu Jukinkaram. This is our prayer. That somehow or another we have fallen into this ocean of birth. Please pick us up, Krishna, and place Agatam such a lotus. So this is an ideal prayer for the fallen living entity. We're desiring something. Other religions, God give us our daily bread. That's something. They're asking something from God. Something material. We're also asking something from God. Please pick me up. We're asking. So we're begging. That means he has to serve us. We're asking. You serve us. But what is that service we're begging? Please pick me up from this material consciousness I'm so bound up in. And establish me in pure consciousness at your lotus feet, as an Atma of Dust. So we can serve you nicely. This is our goal. We're asking Krishna, please make us Krishna conscious again. So we can serve you nicely. This is our only desire. And so he's. And the proper attitude to have. Shunara Pisnuji, Toro Pishni. And then we can pray very feelingly if we have the proper. Otherwise, how we can pray feelingly? So as long as we think we're going to have a nice situation in this material world, it's very difficult to approach Krishna or to pray to him feelingly. Kunti. She was materially exalted. She said that. Those who can pray to Krishna with feeling, Prabhupada, she has so much feeling because she realized she was in such a distressful condition. And she owns a complete shelter of Krishna. Therefore, she could pray to Krishna so feelingly. She was talking to Uddhava. He went to Hastinapur to get information. And he was meeting with Kunti Devi. And she was telling how they were kept getting banished to the forest. And they were set on fire. And they were man-eaters. And they were given poison. And one thing after another and after another. And we were so distressed. And she was just going, I was surrounded by all the enemy party. She was all alone with her five sons. And she was going, one after another. And she, hey, Govinda. Govinda, she just called out, Soha Govinda, crying helplessly for Krishna. Krishna said, because she called out one time, my name, hey Govinda, with such feeling, forever and ever, I am eternally indebted to her. I'm under her control. Because she called me one time only with such feeling, I am forever indebted to Kunti Devi. So like this one, if we can realize our situation, then we can pray feelingly. And that affects Krishna. When he really sees we want to come back home to him. Then he can remove the covering. He can make all the necessary arrangements. And generally it's done through his devotee. Krishna's mercy is actually given through his devotees. It's the property of his devotees, actually. And so when the devotees, by their blessings, then one can transcend everything and become Krishna conscious. They can award you Krishna conscious, your own identity, Krishna's identity, your relationship with Krishna. It's all be awarded by the devotees of Krishna who have that potency of Krishna. But they are very, very careful to protect Krishna's interests. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahapadanaya. They're giving freely love of God. These devotees also, they're giving freely. But they're very, very careful. They're not unintelligent. Because they will put Krishna in a precarious position if they give his mercy so freely for someone who's not qualified. So they take precaution for Krishna's, to protect Krishna's interest. And they make sure that the disciple is very serious. When they're convinced he's very serious, he's not going to interfere with or be a threat to Krishna's program. When they're convinced, okay, yeah, he's proven by his activities and consciousness and his attitude, service attitude, then the pure devotee will give blessing. So it's not cheap. And you've got to do it alone. No one else can do that for you. Actually, love of God is given. It's true that he is giving Krishna prema freely. Mahaprabhu does give it, and the devotees do give it freely. But they give it in a seed form. The Bhakti Lata Bij. It's there, but it's in a seed form. Now, according to your sincerity, you'll manifest that seed. And it's there, but everything is fully there. Full love of Krishna is there in that seed. But you have to fructify that seed. You can do it. No one else can do it for you. You're alone in this world. You have to fructify that seed. So the guru, he will give you the seed. He'll give you the ground to plant it in. He'll give you the field of devotional service. You have the association of devotees. You have the deity. You have all these things. But you've got to do it. You've got to become Krishna. They won't do it for you. They'll give you all the facility, all the structure, everything. But you have to do it. When you do it, and they see you're sincerely doing it successfully, and then, that one moment, Prabhupada said, it can be one moment. Depending on that sincerity, Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it could be hundreds of lifetimes. So So it depends on our sincerity and devotional attitude that will attract the attention of the devotees who are able to give Krishna's mercy. So although we're in this very unfortunate situation, struggling for our existence, bound up, hand and leg, and we can't really discriminate what is truth and what is not truth, with truth, but only by the Shastra and by sadhus. But thank God that we do have the deities. Thank God we do have Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank God we do have the Holy Name. Thank God we do have association of the, what would we do without it? We're completely lost. We may not be situated in truth at the moment, in pure consciousness, but thank God we have got the deities and all this whole process of devotional service and the association of devotees that we can all practice together and gather, become more and more purified in Krishna consciousness, inspire each other. At least if we can't inspire ourselves, we try and inspire others, and at least request them when they go back. They can put in a good word for us. And anyway, then the whole perfection of life is finished, perfected. One goes back home, back to Godhead. So this is the nice thing about Krishna and the Vedas, that he has given us, the knowledge he's giving us, and he's sending his devotees, representatives, to pick us up. So then it becomes our whole world. Nothing else practically exists outside of this devotional world. Then actually everything becomes nice. It's not so bad. When you're Krishna consciousness, actually everything is nice. Even though it's such a horrible position to be in the material world, it's not so bad. One time, Prabhupada was going to go out for a morning walk, and it was just like now, it's pouring down with rain. And he said to Bhavananda, what's the weather like? So Bhavananda looked out the window, and he said, Prabhupada, it's miserable outside. It was grey, overcast, drizzling with rain. He said, Prabhupada, it's miserable. And Prabhupada said, no, it's beautiful. He said, because you don't see Krishna. He said, you think it's miserable. I see everything as Krishna's energy and Krishna's manifest. I see it as beautiful, because I see Krishna. So like that, when we're Krishna, even though it's a hellish place, it becomes very beautiful. When you see Krishna behind everything, it's Krishna's energy, it's functioning because of Krishna. Then you can become happy in this material world. And only the devotee can become happy in the material world. No one else can become happy. So this is our slogan, be happy, chant Hare Krishna, go back home, back to Godhead. Vitaigo Premanandi, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Thank you.